This week's parsha is Parshas Behaloischa, and we will start with chapter 10, pasuk number 29, till pasuk number 32. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe lechoivav ben Reuel amidyani." Moshe Rabbeinu tells to Choivav, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Choisen Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Yisro, which is Choivev, that he received a different name when he converted to Judaism, because Rashi says Choivev al Shem shechibev es haTorah. He made the Torah beloved. He will still have an argument: who is Reuel? If Reuel is the father of Yisro, or Reuel is actually Yisro himself? And Rashi himself on Parshas Yisro, chapter 18. Pasuk number 1 says that Yisro Shiva Shemos Nikruloi, that Yisro had actually 7 names. The first name that Rashi mentions is Reuel, Yeser, Yisro, Choivev, Chever, Keni, Ipoitiel. After Rashi lists the names, Rashi starts to explain the name Yeser. Even though in the list Rashi first wrote the name Reuel, Rashi does not explain the meaning of the word Reuel. Rashi proceeds to explain first the meaning of the name Yeser, and Rashi says that that is because it was written an additional parsha because of Yisro. Yeser means more, because Yisro caused one more parsha to be written in the Torah. The parsha of establishment of judges, that Yisro is the one that gave advice to Moshe Rabbeinu to make a judicial system and put judges, therefore he was called Yeser. It does not explain the name Reuel. It could be that Reuel was actually his name, therefore does need explanation. The Alshech explains that Reuel means that after he recognized Hashem, he became Rea Lakel. He became a friend or a fellow to Hashem. Rashi himself on Parshas Yisro brings at the end Ve'yesh Shomrim, and there are those who give a second opinion and say that Reuel Aviv Shel Yisroi Hayo, that Reuel wasn't actually Yisroi, it was actually Yisroi's father. And even though the pasuk before on Shemos chapter 2, pasuk number 18, when Moshe Rabbeinu Save the Girl says, but Avoina, they came El Reuel Avihem, to Reuel their fathers, which seems to imply that Reuel is actually the father of the girls that Moshe Rabbeinu saved, which those were Yisro's daughter. So Rashi says that it is customary to call a grandfather in the name of father. That Brei Bonim Arein Kebonim, that grandchildren are like children, so therefore it's okay to call a grandfather like your father. But nonetheless, Rashi does not bring our pasuk here as a proof. Our pasuk, now Parsha, seems to be a clear proof that Reuel is actually the father of Yisro. Because the pasuk here says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Choivav ben Reuel Hamidyani, Choisen Moshe. He spoke to Choivav, the son of Reuel from Midian, which is the father-in-law of Moshe, that Reuel was actually the father of Yisro. The answer is that in this pasuk we could actually give 3 different interpretations. One interpretation, if I say that Reuel is Yisro, I could say that Choivav is not Yisro. Choivav is the son of Yisro. He was called Choivav ben Reuel. He was the son of Reuel, which Reuel was the father-in-law of Moshe, which Reuel was Yisro. Comes out Choivev was actually Moshe Rabbeinu's brother-in-law. He wasn't speaking to Yisro, he was speaking to Yisro's son. The interpretation we could say, like Rashi actually says, that speaking to Choivev, which is Yisro, and Reuel is not Yisro, Reuel is the father of Yisro. Or you could give a third different interpretation, that Choivev and Reuel are actually the one and the same person. How are you going to interpret then that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Choivav ben Reuel Hamidyani? He spoke to Choivav, the son of Reuel, which seems to imply that Choivav, which is Yisro, is actually the son of Reuel, we have to answer like the Alshach says. The Alshach says that Choivav means that he beloved the Torah, Alshach Chibav HaTorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to hint to Yisro that you see, they call you Choivav because you are beloved the Torah. And also you are Ben Reuel, you are a son that became a Reya to Hashem, that you became a fellow to Hashem. And besides that, you are Choisen Moshe, you are my family, you are my father-in-law. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to convince Yisro to stay with the Jewish people, he used the arguments of both names. One, that used the argument of Choivav, that you beloved the Torah. Second argument used, that you are Reya Lashem, that you are a fellow to Hashem. And third argument, you are actually Choisen Moshe, you are actually my father-in-law. So according to this, you could interpret Reuel as being Yisro or as being Yisro's father, or you could say Choivav was either Yisro or Choivav was Yisro's son. The pasuk continues and tells me, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Choivav, to Yisro? Noisim anachnu, we are traveling, el amokim asher omar Hashem, to the place that Hashem said, oisoi eten lochem, that place I will give you. Lechoi tonu, come with us, vetavnu loch, and we will treat you well. It doesn't say, what does it mean, we will treat you well. Ki Hashem diber tov al Israel, for Hashem has spoken of good for Israel. Vayomer elav, Yisro tells him, loy elech, I will not go. Ki im el arzi, to my land, val moladati, to my birthplace, elech, I will go. Basically, Yisro is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, no, I will not go with you. I want to go back to my land and to my birthplace. Vayomer, Moshe Rabbeinu asks him, al no ta'azov oisanu, please do not leave us. Ki al ken yodato, because of that you know, chano yiseinu, our resting place by midbar in the desert. Vo'isa lonu le'inaim, and you will be as eyes for us. We will try to explain what does it mean, will be as eyes for us. Vo'oyo kisei lechimanu, it will be if you walk with us. Vo'oyo atoifahu ha'sheyetiv Hashem, himanu, the goodness that Hashem will make with us. Ve'itavnu lach, I will do that goodness to you. I will try to paraphrase and explain what the pasuk says, and because of that, we will see that the whole pasuk is kind of enigmatic. We can't really see what the arguments between Moshe and Yisro is, and because of that, there are different interpretations. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yisro and says that we are going to Eretz Israel, and it will be that what Hashem will give us, we will do good to you. What does it mean, we will do good to you? We don't know exactly. Yisro answers, no, I want to go to my land and to my birthplace. Moshe Rabbeinu says, please do not leave us, because you know our resting in the desert, and you will be to us for eyes. We have to understand really, what does it mean for eyes? And then the clincher, he says that if you will come with us, then the goodness that Hashem will give us will give you. So basically the question is that originally he already said that he will do good to Yisro, and now he's saying the goodness that Hashem will do to us, we will do to you. Now the question is, what was added by the second statement? The Ramban explains that Moshe Rabbeinu originally says that we are going to the land Asher Omar Hashem Oiso Eten Lochem, that Hashem told us that he will give to us, which means to the Jewish people. Yisro understood that this means that only Jewish people will get inheritance of the land. Lochem to you means excluding Gerim, excluding converts. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that yes, even though the converts are excluded from receiving a portion of the land, I will still give you enough money. The money that we'll be collecting from the spoils of the wars, we will split it with you, we'll give you your portion from that. True, you're not going to get land, but you are going to get the portion of the spoils. On that, according to Rashi and according to the Ramban, Yisro says, I'm sorry, I'm going back to my homeland, I'm going back to my place. Moshe Rabbeinu at this point makes an argument why he shouldn't go, and also raises the ante and says that not only are we going to give you a share of the spoils, we are also going to give you from what Hashem will give us, we will give you a portion of the land. Even though it's not going to be a permanent portion of the land, because we are going to give you doisheno shel Yerichoi, a portion in Yerichoi of the size of 500 cubits by 500 cubits. When the Jewish people came into the land of Israel, they divided the land according to their tribes, but they knew that the Beis HaMikdash is eventually at one time going to be built. They didn't know in whose portion the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So they decided they're going to leave the space 500 cubits by 500 cubits in Doisheno Shel Yericho, and in whoever's portion the Beis HaMikdash is built, and he gives up land for the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be entitled to take that land next to Yerichoi. And meanwhile, until the Beis HaMikdash was built, they gave it to the children of Israel to be custodians of the property. And according to Rashi and Ramban, that is the property now that Moshe Rabbeinu is promising to Yisro, that if he follows the Jewish people into the land, he will get at least to be custodian of this property. The Ksav Sofer explains the argument between Moshe and Yisro based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, Mishnah Yud Gimel. There the Mishnah describes four characters among people. A person that says, Shali Shali, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That is an average character type person, and some people say that this is the characteristic of Zdom. I'm not going to explain this part of the Mishnah. The second character is a person who says, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. That is a Amoretz, that is an unlearned person, not sophisticated person. Then we have the person that says, Shali, what is mine, Shalach is yours. Veshalcha, what is yours, Shalach is yours. Chosid. So a person like that is a pious person. So the Ksav Sofer asks a question, why do you have to write down the second part of the Mishnah? If you say that even what is mine is yours, for sure what is yours. So why is it telling you that you are chosid, you are a pious person, only if you say both things? By saying Shali Shalach would be enough to be a pious person. Whatever I have, I'm willing to give to you. That should be a pious person. So why does Mishnah have to add the Shalcha, what is yours, Shalach is yours? So the Ksav Sofer explains this saying based on the Yalkut Shimoni on Ruth. After the first day that Ruth worked in Boaz's field, she came with a huge amount of barley. Noami, on chapter 2, Pasuk number 19, Esther, where did you collect today? And Ruth answers, Vatomer, she says, Shem Oish Asher Osisi Imoy Hayoim, the name of the person that I did with him today is Boaz. She did not say that the name of the person that did with me is Boaz, implying that Boaz helped her. She actually said the reverse. The person that she helped out was Boaz. Yalkut Shimoni brings down that Tani Rabbi Shaya says, Yoiser Mimasha Balabais Oisa Imani, more than the Balabais and the owner gives to the poor, makes with the poor, Ha'ani Oisim Balabais, that the poor does to the Balabais. In other words, more than the rich person is helping the poor person is actually helping the rich person. When a person is giving charity, he always thinks that he is the nice guy, that he is in control, and he gives the money for the poor from his money. The Medrash is telling you that that is quite the opposite, that the poor person is doing you a favor, that he is taking the money. How is he doing you a favor? The simple interpretation is that since Hashem tells you that if you give charity, Hashem will make you wealthier, like the Pasuk says, Aser te aser, Aser bishvil shatis asher, that if you give maaser, if you tithe, Hashem will make you wealthier, then in truth, the poor person is helping out the rich person, because the poor person is making sure that the rich person is going to get wealthier. But the Ksav Sofer gives a deeper interpretation. Every time a rich person gives money to a poor person, he is actually not giving from his own money. Why? Because Hashem actually gave the money of the poor person to the rich person for it to remain in his custody, and now the poor person is actually only asking for his money back. For example, if I give somebody a watch for safekeeping, when that person gives me back the watch, he's actually not doing me a favor by giving back the watch. He's doing only what is required, but nonetheless, I have to reward him. I have to say thank you for him being a good custodian, for him watching over my watch so well. And that is exactly the relationship between the rich person and the poor person. That money really belongs to the poor person, but Hashem gave the rich person as a custodian for him to keep the money for the poor person. Therefore, when he's giving the money for the poor person, it's not doing a favor for the poor person by giving him back the money, because it was really the poor person's money. But nonetheless, it deserves a thank you. It deserves his reward for doing that. Therefore, the poor person is actually giving the rich person a reward for being a good guardian, a good safekeeper, a good custodian of that money. And the Ksav Sofer explains that Pshat Mishnah says, Shalli Shalcha, Shalcha Shalcha, that what is mine is yours, what is yours, means to say that you should know that what I really have really belongs to you. That really the extra money that I have belongs to you. Therefore, when you take tzedakah, don't think you're taking tzedakah from me, you're really taking tzedakah from yourself. And what does it mean, Shalcha? What does it mean? Shalcha, Shalach means the money that I'm giving you is not really my money, it is your money. So therefore, don't feel bad from taking from me. And that a person that acts that way, that views the money that he's giving from charity as the money from the poor person already, and tells the poor person not to be ashamed to take the money because Hashem gave him the money to become a custodian, a person like that is considered a pious person. And that's why the Mishnah writes down both ways. One, the person has to know that what he has really belongs to somebody else. And when he gives to somebody else, he has to view it as he's giving back somebody else's property. So Shali, what is mine, really Shalach, belongs to the poor. And Shalcha, and what you're taking back from me, is Shalach, is really yours. So don't feel bad about taking charity. A person like that is considered a pious person. The Ksav Sofer explains that this is exactly the argument between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisroi. Originally, Yisroi did not want to have benefit from other people, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asks Yisroi to stay, he says, "Veitavnu lach, we will do good to you, ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael, because Hashem has spoken of good for Israel." In other words, for any good that Israel will get, that the Jewish people get, that goodness we are willing to give you, which that will be a tantamount of him taking the Jewish people's property. Therefore, Yitzro says, "I'm sorry, I don't want to take anybody else's property. I'm going back to my land and to my birthplace." Moshe Rabbeinu answers that, "Al no tazav oisanu, please do not leave us. Ato yodato, you know, chano yisenu bamidbor, our traveling, our resting in the desert." What does it mean? Which means that not the way you mentioned that we are going to help you, quite opposite. You are going to help us, because you could see clearly that Hashem has other means of help. Even though you, by being a convert from Midian, you're not going to get a portion of Eretz Israel, nonetheless, you know Hashem has different ways to help, feed and support. The same way that Hashem is helping us in the middle of the desert, our resting place in the desert, that Hashem is feeding us, Hashem is giving us manna, is giving us water, so too Hashem could support you when you come into Eretz Israel. And those things that we're giving you, it's not we doing you a favor, quite the opposite. You are doing us a favor. That's why it says that the goodness that Hashem will give because of you with us, meaning that we are going to be custodians for the goodness that it's becoming to you. Hashem is giving us the goodness only to give you. In other words, the goodness Hashem will give with us, Imanu, with us, that we tavnu lach, because that is really your money, and that is the reason that you are here, because Hashem wants us to get rewarded for giving you your money back, and that is the reason that Hashem is going to give us extra. But it's not that we are giving you from our money, we are giving you actually your money, because Hashem is giving your goodness with us. In other words, Hashem is giving us extra goodness in order to give you. And once he said that, it is not considered anymore like you're taking our money, you are actually taking back your money. And we are getting reward for being good custodians and giving the money back to you. Sefer Yismach Moshe brings a perplexing Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni on the Pasuk, Al Ken Yodato Chanuseinu Bamidbar, that you have known our resting place in the desert, brings down a medrash. Omar Rav Yuda, Ato Yodato, you knew Hachein, the grace Shenitan Lavoyseinu Bamitzrayim, that our forefathers received in Egypt. Shenemar, because the Pasuk brings down in Shemos 12, Pasuk number 37, Vashem Nosan Eschena Om Beina Mitzrayim, Hashem gave grace of the people in the eyes of the Egyptians, Vaishalom, and they lent to the Jewish people, Vainasu Es Mitzrayim, and they cleaned off Egypt. The Pasuk is referring that right when the Jewish people were about to leave Egypt, Hashem had requested them to please go borrow vessels of gold, vessels of silver, and clothing. And the Jewish people did so, and Hashem gave grace in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they lent to the Jewish people the vessels. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to Yisro. So the question that Yismach Moshe asks is, what connection seems to be between this resting place and the grace that Hashem gave to the Egyptians to give us wealth? True that the word Chanoiseinu, which translates resting, and the word Chein, which is grace, both have the Ches and the Nun, but what other connection do they have that Moshe Rabbeinu is using that as an argument to Yisro? Sefer Yisroch Moshe answers that based on the Rashi before, on chapter 10, Pasuk 31, there he says, Al no tazav oisanu, do not leave us. So Rashi says, Ein no elo loshon bakosho, that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking to Yisro, please do not leave us. Why? The people should not say that Yisro did not convert because he loves the Jewish people. He converted because he thought that he's going to get a portion of the land of Israel. And as soon as he saw that he doesn't get a portion of the land of Israel, he decided to leave. So people shouldn't say that Yisro had an ulterior motive to convert. They didn't convert because he believed in Hashem, or he believed in Hashem's miracle, he wanted to be connected to Hashem. The only reason he converted is because he wanted to get a portion of the land of Israel. As soon as he finds out that he doesn't have a portion of the land of Israel, he leaves. So the Mizrach explains that Rashi is trying to say that he's going to come out a Chilul Hashem out of this, a desecration of Hashem's name. So how do you know that you have to worry about Chilul Hashem? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says that you remember that Hashem told us on beginning of Shemos, chapter 11, Pasuk number 2, there he says, Daber no ba'ozne ha'am, please ask the Jewish people, and they should borrow clothing and borrow vessels. So Rashi explains, why is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to please ask the Jewish people? Why please? Rashi explains that unless they did so, the soul of Avram would have had argument against Hashem. He would say, the Hashem carried out in full measure the prophecy that his offspring will be oppressed. But Hashem did not carry out in full measure the promise that the Jews would leave their captivity in great wealth. So to forestall that, Hashem pleaded to Moshe to ask the Jewish people to please request valuables from the Egyptians. From this Rashi comes out that you see how important it is that you should not have Chil Hashem. The fact that Hashem gave grace to the Egyptians to give us is in order that shouldn't come out a Chil Hashem, that Hashem does not keep His word. That Chas v'Sholom Avraham Avinu would have thought that Hashem does not keep His word because He enslaved us, and yet He did not give us wealth when we went out. So therefore, not to come out a Chil Hashem, Hashem gave grace for the Egyptians to give us money. The same thing here, you see that in order not to come out a Chil Hashem, you cannot leave us, because people will say that you only came here to convert only because you wanted to get a portion of the land. Now that you found out you don't get a portion of the land, you're leaving us. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu compared this situation to the situation where Hashem asked us to request money from the Egyptian in order not to come out a Chil Hashem. Rashi on Pasuk Lamed Aleph, where it says, "Anot tas avoytanu, please do not leave us. Ki al ken yodato, because you know, chanoisenu bamidbor, our resting in the desert, vayisolonu leinaim, and you have been to us for eyes." So Rashi brings down on vayisolonu leinaim, you have been to us for eyes. Rashi brings three different interpretations. One interpretation brings down lashoin avar. This is a past tense, ketargumoi. Like the Targum says. The Targum says, Ugdvuron de sabidon lanu chazisa beinoich. And the miracles that were done to us, you have seen with your own eyes. Which means it's a past tense that how can you leave us? You have seen, you have witnessed by yourself all these miracles. Therefore, it's not proper for you to leave us. You realize the presence of Hashem. That's what is implied by the first interpretation in Rashi. The Pardes Yosef brings from Rab Nosson Gestetner a beautiful interpretation. He brings down the Gemara in Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, brings down the Ein Bal Hanes Makir Benisoi. A lot of times when a miracle happens to a person that's used to getting a miracle, he doesn't realize a lot of times that the miracle actually happened. Therefore, the Jewish people always are used to getting miracles, so therefore they did not feel and did not perceive when a miracle happened. Therefore, they would not appreciate it, and they would not praise Hashem for it. But Yisro, which Yisro came from outside, and for him, miracles were not usually done for him, he is the one that actually realizes and he feels the miracle. So he makes the Jewish people aware about the miracles they are getting, thereby causing the Jewish people to show their appreciation to Hashem and praise Him. The Jewish people by themselves, the fact that they got manna every day and they got Be'er every day, they got the well of Miriam every day, to them it became as natural as the sun. That even though the sun coming up in the morning every day, it's a miracle, but since it's something that's constant and we're used to it, we don't feel it as a miracle. But somebody who comes from a different place all of a sudden will see the sun, will say, "Wow, what a miracle the sun is." This argument and this plea was given to Yisro by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was saying like this: "Please do not leave us, because here in the desert you have been to us for eyes." In other words, you have opened up our eyes for the miracles that have happened. You have seen the miracles, you have witnessed it, and you have made us aware of those miracles. We did not realize it ourselves, because since Hashem makes miracles to us constantly, we were not aware of it until you opened up our eyes for the miracles. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues, "Vayo kiselech imanu, and it'll be that you will come with us, vayo hatoif ahu asher yetiv Hashem imanu, will be the goodness that Hashem will do to us." In other words, Hashem will make more miracles for us. Unfortunately, we are not going to be aware of them, but Veitavnu lach, you are going to tell us about the miracles. We are going to praise Hashem, and because you are the vehicle that caused us to praise Hashem, then automatically it will be good to you too. We will have tremendous hakaras hatoiv, we'll have tremendous recognition of good for you, for making us aware of the miracles. And because of you, we'll be able to praise Hashem with more fervor, with more kavana, because now we know about the miracles that He gave us. The second interpretation Rashi brings is that He will be the eyes of the people in the future, which means that He will enlighten the Jewish people whenever they fail to perceive something. In the same way that in Parshas Yisro, when he saw people staying in line the whole day, he gave us advice that we should adopt a system of justice and appoint judges. And that is because he comes from a different culture where he has different backgrounds and he has different experiences of looking at things. So too, in the future, maybe we'll tap in to your experiences and you will teach us other things and enlighten us in different ways. The same way that we see, Baruch Hashem, with the influx of Baal Tshuvas, the way the Torah is learned is in a different way, that they analyze in a different way because of their schooling, because of their experiences. They add to the diversity and they add to the teaching of Torah. So too, because you are from a different culture, you could teach us things or view things in different ways. The third interpretation Rashi brings is that you will be beloved to us as our own eyes. Means that we are going to protect you. Don't think that you are not part of our people. We are going to protect you as somebody would touch our eyes. That will take care of you the same way somebody touches your eye, it hurts you. So too, you will be as our eyes that we are going to protect you. The Ramban explains that Pshat means that you will be like our eyes, means that since you know the desert, you will be our guide. You are knowledgeable about all the winds and owls of the desert because you come from Midian, where Midian is in the middle of the desert. So therefore, you will be as a guide to us, where you will teach us the ways. The Rabbeinu Bachya asks a question on this Ramban, that what kind of story is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Yisroel when we had the Anana Kovet, we had the clouds of glory which directed our way, which showed us the way, so why would we require to have the services of Isro as a guide? The answer could be very simple, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know if the Anana Kovet are going to be there in a permanent way. Moshe Rabbeinu actually thought, according to Rashi, that they're going in straight to Eretz Yisrael. Once they go into Eretz Yisrael, the Anana Kovet aren't going to be there anymore. They probably will need a guide. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to convince Yisroel that we have need for you because you know the area very well and you will be our guide. But Rabbeinu Bachya gives a different answer which speaks badly about the Jews. Rabbeinu Bachya says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu told that you are going to be our guide is because Ktana Amunah, which means the small believers among the Jewish people, that they would better be consoled by a physical man that knows the way than by the clouds of glory. In other words, these people that think maybe they're going to sin and they won't have the clouds of glory, but as long as they have a guide, they figure even if Hashem removes the clouds of glory, they still could rely on their guide to tell us the way. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke like that to Yisroel to satisfy those little believers. Rabbeinu Bach himself gives a different interpretation. He says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Yisroel to be there is because Yisroel is the one that's not part originally of the Jewish people. He's the one that could bear witness about all the miracles that Hashem did for them in the desert, and everybody would believe him. That if the Jewish people recounted the miracles that happened to them, people would not believe because they are clearly biased. But Yisroel is a stranger confirming the miracles that the Jewish people are saying, he would be believed, and you'll be to us for eyes, means that you'll be the eyes of the Goyim to witness for the Goyim, for the nations of the world, the miracles that Hashem is doing to us. The Chasam Sofer brings down one interpretation, that Yisroel Lanu Leinayim, that you'll be to us for eyes, means that you will be as the example for the eyes of the Goyim. The nations of the world will see how you behave as a convert and they'll come to emulate you and that will change the relationship with us. The Chasam Sofer means to say that Lahavdul, we are going to use you as a poster boy to show how a convert is supposed to behave, and once they see how a convert is supposed to behave, they'll come to emulate you and they will also convert. The other answer the Pardes Yosef brings down, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Yisroel to remain there because since Yisroel dealt, if allowed, different governments, and they are coming into Eretz Yisrael, he'll be able to advise Moshe Rabbeinu how to deal with the nations around them. And what means by the pasuk Vayisalanu Leinayim means that you're going to open our eyes the way to deal with them, what can be trusted, what procedure has to be done, what is the normal protocol to do things, that you'll be able to open up our eyes and teach us because of your experience with the other nations. Sefer Shara Harum brings our interpretation based on the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Alav Amad Alav, which is a very famous Gemara. The Gemara there quotes Rab Chiya Bar Ava Neo of Rab Simar, that when Paroi, beginning of Shmos, wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he started to make plots against the Jewish people, there were three people involved in council at that time to Pharaoh. The three people are Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. Bilam, that gave the advice to drown the Jewish babies, Nerag, he was killed. Eov, Job, that was silent, he didn't say anything, he was punished by sufferings. Yisro, Sheborach, Yisro, that had to run away in protest, Zachu Mibreibonov Sheyeshvu Belish Chazagozis. His grandchildren merited to be members of the Sanhedrin of the Jewish Supreme Court. So he brings down that Sanhedrin are called Einei Oedo. They are called the eyes of the community, the eyes of the congregation. As the Pasuk on Bamidbar, chapter 15, Pasuk number 24, there he says, V'hoyo will be im Einei Oedo necessarily Shgogo, if it was done by the eyes of the congregation, and that is referring to the Sanhedrin, to the Jewish Supreme Court. So if Sanhedrin are called Einei Oedo, so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say. Vayisalanu, you'll be to us Leinayim as eyes, that you'll be as the eyes of the congregation, which is the Sanhedrin, therefore stay with us because you are going to get rewarded for what you did, that your children will merit to be part of the Sanhedrin. The Ben Ish Chai says that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Vayisalanu Leinayim that you, Yisro, you will be as I was, and he uses the same idea that eyes signify wisdom, the same idea that we mentioned that Einei Oedo, the eyes of the congregation, are the wisest people in the congregation. So too, the Ben Ish Chai explains that Yisro was a very wise person and we could use the wisdom of Yisro. And he explains that if you take a look at all our five senses, each sense goes a little further than the other one. He explains that eyes could see the sense of sight. You could see, you could detect things, seeing things before you could hear things. The sense of hearing is greater than the sense of smell. You hear it before you actually smell it. The sense of smell is greater than the sense of taste. First you smell it and then you could taste it. He explains that that's why the wisest people, since they could perceive things further on before anybody else, they are considered like the sense of sight. That's why they are called the eyes of the congregation, which is the greatest of all senses because it perceives things from far. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told Yisro, Vayisalanu Leinayim, that you will be like our eyes that could see from further on because you are a great Chacham and we could learn from you. After all the arguing that Moshe Rabbeinu does with Yisro, the Torah does not write us down what actually Yisro did. We don't know if he left or if he stayed. Don't have a resolution to see in the Torah what Yisro did. Did Yisro accept Moshe Rabbeinu's argument or not? The problem that we have is that on Shmos, chapter 18, Pasuk number 27, there it says, Vayishlach Moshe es Chosnoi, Moshe Rabbeinu sent his father-in-law, Vayelech lo el arso, and he went to his land. So the Ramban learns that this happened all before this story. That Yisro came before the Torah was given, and then Yisro went home to convert his family, and he came back to the Jewish people even before the Jewish people started moving out while they were still at Sinai. He came back and he never left again. This, what's happening in this week's Parsha, happened in the second year, where Moshe Rabbeinu asked Yisro not to leave, and Yisro heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said and accepted it. In the first year, Yisro came, and in fact, he left to convert his family. He joined the Jewish people in the second year while they are still in the desert of Sinai, and he never left again. The Even Ezra is of the opinion that was written on Parshas Yisro, that Yisro left and went to his land, didn't happen there before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given. It actually happened here in the second year of the desert, and there the Torah writes down what happened finally to Yisro, that Yisro actually left the Jewish people. That Moshe Rabbeinu gave all these arguments for Yisro, but Yisro did not accept his arguments, and Yisro decided to leave. And what's written on Parshas Yisro, Pasuk 27, that he left, happened after this argument on Parshas Baal Yisro, right here, that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to convince Yisro to stay, but Yisro would not hear of it, and Yisro actually left. And the Sforna brings down that Yisro, when Yisro made the argument that, no, I want to go to my land, and I want to go to my birthplace, Yisro was trying to say that I'm an old man, and the change of climate may affect me. So Yisro was afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael because he was used to the desert climate and he was afraid that the change will affect him. So therefore he did not want to go. But after Moshe Rabbeinu argued about the Chilul Hashem, all the arguments that we gave, Yisro decided to leave his children with Moshe Rabbeinu, but he himself went to his land to convert the rest of his nation, or because of the climate. But his children remained with the Jewish people, thereby canceling out most of Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments. But he himself left, and what's written on Parshas Yisro that he left happened now, where he left, but his children remained with the Jewish people. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should learn from this week's Parsha, that we should learn to appreciate the miracles that Hashem does to us every day. And also, we should know that when we give charity, we are really not giving to the poor. The poor is actually doing a favor to us, that he is taking back his deposit. The money that Hashem gave to you really belongs to the poor, and we should deal honestly with our friends. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach Tzidkenu come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, Bimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.